chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews 4:12. As we mentioned this morning, we're going to talk tonight about examining your heart with God's Word. Examining your heart with God's Word. You know, one of the famous passages of scriptures about examining your heart is found in Psalms 139. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." One of the reasons why we chose the theme song for this year is because each time when we enter the service on Sundays when we sing, my heart's prayer is that we would actually try our hearts according to God's words. You listen to the words we sung earlier. It says, "Try my heart, Lord, search and know it. Make it be a heart that pleases you. Try my heart, Lord, shape and change it. Lord, I give my heart to you." And what it's saying is, Lord, as the preaching of the word of God is going on and as the singing and everything, he says, "Lord, I want to give you my heart. I want you to look at it. I want you to try it. I want you to search it. I want you to know it. And if you find anything in it that does not please you, Lord, I want you to take and I want you to change it." And that's what our prayer needs to be. As we come to 2014, as we consider having a heart for God, we need to learn to examine our hearts. But when we examine our hearts, we must do it according to the right thing, the word of God. I know this past Wednesday night and this morning, the messages were on purpose intended to challenge us and challenge our hearts about Wednesday night. If you're not here, we talked about being a disciple and what a true disciple of Jesus Christ was. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that, I encourage you to listen to it on the internet. It's very powerful. Jesus' words were that you cannot be my disciple unless, and it talks about loving him more than anything else. You cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to bear the cross and follow after him. You cannot be my disciple if you're not willing to forsake everything. And lots of us like to have in our minds, hey, I'm a good Christian, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, but the way Jesus Christ had put it, it cuts right to our hearts and says, am I really, really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do I really have a heart for God? And we come across some of those messages and we feel like we're sometimes a failure. Sometimes we feel like we're overwhelmed. And what is it that we need to do? What is it that we need to change? What is it that is going to help us achieve that goal of having a heart for God? And it starts off with this. It's when we allow God's word to examine our heart. When we allow God to examine our heart. That's when the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." Psalms 31:139 is just the same thing that kind of goes along with tonight's passages. Allow God to search you. Allow him to look at your heart. Allow him to try your heart. And not based off what other people think, but what God thinks. Now, the heart is an amazing organ. It's the most important organ in our body, yet it is one of the smallest. Research proves that heart begins pumping a few weeks after conception. Even in the mother's womb, a tiny heart begins to pump and circulate the blood of an infant life. It still amazes me that doctors have said it's okay to kill unborn babies. Isn't that, I guess, amazing that the heart's pumping and they still say, oh, it's okay. You can get rid of it. It's not really a life yet. You know, they have all types of machinery to check out your physical heart. I know some people in the room have had heart operations and heart surgeries, and it's amazing what they can do. After spending some time with Mr. Bill Lilly up at the heart hospital and with the Lanes, with Jordan at the children's hospital, learning about all the different things they can do for your physical heart. They can even give you a new heart. I mean, it's amazing what they can do. The EKGs and the heart catheterizations, the make sure that your physical heart is okay, it's amazing. Now, God offers that same thing, but he's looking for the spiritual heart here. He's looking for the moral center of our lives. This word heart here that we saw in Psalms 139, we're going to see in Hebrews 4:12, it's from the Greek word of cardia, which means the moral center and the hidden personal life. It's what really runs us. It's what is how we feel, how we react, All these things come from our heart. Later on, weeks coming, we're going to learn where all the wicked things that comes from our heart, it's always a heart issue. It's always a heart problem. And tonight, I like to, for us to set aside what we think we are when it comes to our Christian lives and what we think our heart is like, and let God's word examine us. And give God a chance to teach us and show us what we might need to change. And now he's got a powerful tool. He's got a tool just like the doctors got the EKGs, just like the doctors have the heart catheterizations, just like the doctors have all these things to make sure your physical heart is right. God has something to make sure your spiritual heart is right. And it's found here in Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's look in verse number 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Now here's the thought, is that the word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharp. It's able to be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? Of your heart. You know, everybody, all these doctors have all these tools. God's word is his tool. It's as the Holy Spirit of God is our spiritual surgeon. When people speak and preach, and when you read the word of God, and God does different things in our hearts and life to try to help us to realize if we have heart trouble or not. First thing I want you to see is the heart examine. The heart examine. If you're having a physical heart problem, you're not going to go to a child's doctor set. I don't know about you. When you were a kid, did you have one of those doctor sets when you were a little kid? You know, you open it up, inside of there, it has a stethoscope that's made out of plastic and kind of a rubbery thing. And when you were a kid, you used to put it in your ears and you go listen to people. You know, if you got a real heart problem, if you got a heart condition, your chest isn't feeling well, you're feeling some intense burning, you're feeling like you might have a heart attack, and you're not going to go to a five-year-old and say, "Hey, can you check my heart out? Can you see whether or not I'm having a heart problem? Can you see I'm not feeling good? Can you take that plastic stethoscope, put it up to my chest, and see whether or not you can figure out what's wrong?" To be honest with you, you probably don't even want to go to a nurse, even though they might be a registered nurse. And the nurse, you know what the nurse would tell you? "Don't let me listen to it. You go to the doctors. You go to the hospital. Go get the real equipment that's going to tell you whether or not you have a heart problem." Now, the nurse, even the doctor inside the doctor's office, you know what they might be able to tell you? They might be able to tell you some of your symptoms. Yeah, there is some type of irregularity here. Yeah, there is something. If you have these symptoms, there is a problem. You need to do what? You need to go get this checked out. And here what the Bible is saying is that we need to make sure that we allow what can really check us out have the work in our hearts, to have the place in our hearts. You know, so many times we go by and we check with other sources to see what's okay with our heart or not. It's like us going to a five-year-old with this little plastic stethoscope and saying, "Can you make sure my heart's okay physically?" is when we go to our friends. When we go to people that only see us outwardly and say, "You know what? How's my heart? How am I doing spiritually? How is it that you think I'm doing? Can you help me?" And once again, encouragement from one another is one thing. But there's only one thing that can pierce our heart. There's only one thing that can clean our heart. There's only one thing that God uses, and that's his word. I know it can come in different forms. It can come in singing God's word. It can come in your own reading, your own private devotions. It can come in the thoughts that you get from God's word. But God's word is the one that comes and it can examine you. This is why when we are talking about examining our hearts, we need not to go to our friends and our relatives or other church members, but bring our heart before God and say to him, "Lord," and his word, ask him to search it. Ask him to see if there's any wicked thing inside of it, to see if there's any wickedness, and allow God to do the work. It's amazing. People will spend fortunes, and I hate to think about those doctor bills that people have because of all those heart procedures. If they did not have insurance, I can only imagine the thousands and hundreds of thousands and maybe even millions of dollars that heart procedures can cost. They'll spend fortunes to be able to make sure their physical heart is okay. But many times Christians will not spend hardly any time to make sure their spiritual heart is okay. They actually go away from church. They actually go away from reading their Bible. They actually go away from praying and meditating on it because they do not want their heart examined because they like the way they are. And just like we ignore sometimes when we have a feeling in our chest, we just dismiss it. We like not having heart problems. We like thinking that there's nothing wrong. When there's a little bit of a physical problem, we like to just pretend it's not there. Last Sunday night, my back had been hurting for a few weeks, but it was feeling pretty good last Sunday night. I like to pretend it wasn't there. So you know what I did? I went and bowled last Sunday night. You know what? It's been there for the whole week now since my bowling. My back's been bothering me. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me because it was my own dumb fault. I shouldn't have bowled. I shouldn't have bowled three games. That's I just wanted to ignore it because I did not want to be a person with back problems. I wanted to be young. I wanted to be able to bowl. I wanted to have a good time with my church family. And you know what happened? I ignored my problem. I didn't want to get it checked out. I still don't want to go to doctors and get it checked out. So, but you got to do what you got to do. And when it comes to our spiritual lives, we need to look in the Bible and see what God's word. Let's look at this verse a little bit closer. First thing I want you to see is, for the word of God is quick. This word quick is in reference to the fact that it just simply means it's alive. The Bible is alive forever. It is a living book. When you read God's word, you are exposing your heart to the living words of God. The church of Thessalonica, when Paul was writing them, he says, you received their words, not as words of men, but the words of God. And that's what the Bible is saying here, that the word of God, it is quick. It is a living word. It is a living message. You do not have to do the work. God's done the work. It's his word. We just have to give out the word. We are co-laboring together with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not how entertaining we can make the message. It's not how good we can make something sound. It's not how much we can trick somebody into being saved or influence someone into being saved. We have the Word of God. It's our job to do what? To give out the Word. Now, it is easier to do when it sounds a little bit, if you have the right type of English, the right type of grammar. It's easier to listen to somebody who does not have broken English. It's easier to listen to somebody that has taught or has at least practiced or at least, you know what, all that stuff is superficial. If you are a servant of God with a heart of God, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to give out the word. Just keep on giving out the word. Let God take care of the word. And it's a living word. You're not going to do it. I mean, once again, you got to be a willing servant. God is looking for a willing servant. He wants you to give out the word. It's a living word. It's quick. The second thing I want you to see is the word of God is powerful. It's quick and powerful. It simply means that it's dynamic. God's word is more dynamic than any surgeon's tool. It's more dynamic than any medicine's latest technology. God's word is more important than any open heart surgery. What God can do when you give out the word of God or when you hear the word of God preach, spiritual heart surgery can happen. If you will allow God to work in your lives, when you hear the word of God, when you're hearing it, when you're reading it, and you open up your heart and say, okay, Lord, here's my heart. Let me compare my life and my heart to the word of God. Spiritual heart surgery can happen. Spiritual heart surgery can happen in the lives of listeners as it is performed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's as if the Holy Spirit of God is using an instrument, a tool, just as a doctor would use a knife to cut open the chest, or just as a doctor would use some type of instrument to do the different work around the heart. The Holy Spirit of God takes the Bible, takes the Word of God, takes the living words, the powerful words, and takes and makes the cuts that need to be there. You say, Pastor, the cuts? Well, you listen to what it says. The word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That means it's sharp. You ever try to cut something with a dull knife? Boy, that can be frustrating, can't it? You know what that is? When you try to give out the word of God and not be right with God, when you try to do things in your own power and your own strength, it's like trying to cut something with a dull knife. You need to be right with God, and you need to give out the word of God and let these living, quick, and powerful words cut. You know, this idea of this sharper than two-edged sword, you know, that's, as a preacher, when I preach the word of God, I think of it this way. You know, as I'm using the sword, it not only cuts you, it cuts me too. And this past Sunday morning's and Wednesday night's message were both very dear to my heart because I do want to be a disciple. I want to do those requirements. I want to have a desire for the presence of God. I want those things in my life. And I believe God's help, those things can be real. I think those things can be true to us. It's not just some distant dream. It's something that we can grab a hold of, but it begins right here. It begins by us allowing the word of God to pierce and to be sharp and to cut us. Say, what do you mean? Not physically, but spiritually. There's some things that need to be taken away. There's some things that need to be cut away and thrown out. The rubbish needs to be taken out with the garbage. And here it says that even in Ephesians 6:17, what does the Bible is called? It's the sword of the Spirit. It is a sword. It is a surgical tool which cuts the heart of men and women. It's the word of God that will cut into the hearts alone when God uses it. And not only does it say that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it says that next phrase, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit. Now, that word pierce doesn't mean that it just makes a little prick. It means it cuts all the way through. If you allow the word of God, it will not only just make a cut, it will actually pierce your heart. It will pierce between the soul and spirit. You know, a lot of theologians get out there, well, this is the soul and this is the spirit, and they try to make those descriptions. There are times when the soul and spirit are meant together, and there are times like this where you see that it's separated, but it's only God that can pierce the soul and the spirit. It's the only God that can put those two apart. And here he is saying it's piercing the soul and the spirit. Now, it's interesting for us to think that God's word can cut us. It can pierce us. But we had to allow it. We had to open up the Bible and say, hey, the preacher is not just preaching to those everybody else in the auditorium. The word of God can come into my heart, and the word of God can cut away some things in my heart and can pierce even in my heart and my life too. Remember, this is the place where God comes and meets with his people. This is the place where God's presence is. This is the place that God wants us to come together and learn of his words. I heard a story when I was studying. As a story about the preacher that took his oldest daughter to get her ears pierced. And that the story was told that the little sister was sitting there watching with her eyes wide open and looking at it. And the little sister turned around and she was watching as they pulled the earlobe down and they took the gun and they pierced the ear. The little girl looked up and he says, Daddy, it went all the way through. It pierced all the way through. And you know what? The little girl didn't get her ears pierced for years because she watched that happen. But you know what? That's what God's word can do. It doesn't have to just stop with our ears. It can actually pierce all the way through our heart. That's if you're willing to allow it. This is the same reason why sometimes people avoid God's word altogether. This is the same reason why some people do not like to go to churches that preach and teach the Bible. They want to have their consciences soothed. They want a Christianity that makes them feel good. They want a Christianity that does not have personal demands or does not condemn any type of secret sin. Many Christians avoid the Word of God because it pierces them to their deepest heart problems. Many people want surface Christianity, but the Bible is meant to go all the way through. The Bible is meant to be sharp. The Bible is meant to pierce. The Bible is meant to cleanse. The Bible is meant to be like the hammer that breaks up the hard heart. The Bible is meant to be like a fire that refines us. The Bible is intended for this purpose. Anyone that does not put a priority on the Word of God, they're looking for surface Christianity. And yes, that can draw a crowd, but that will not make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's not what we're interested in here at our church. We're looking for the Bible to do its work, what God has intended to do. It's for it to be quick and for it to be powerful, for it to be sharp and to pierce us and show us our needs. But we have to let the Word of God examine our hearts. It can't be my brother or my sister examining me. It must be the Word of God. Now, we can allow our brothers and sisters, our wives and our husbands and our church family to help keep us accountable, to help us understand when we see something going off in their life, just like the nurse or the doctor might say, yes, I see the symptoms, but we're not going to really know what's wrong until we put you in some test. People can see the symptoms, but they're not going to truly know what's wrong until you're allowed God to put his test on you. Have you let the Word of God examine you lately? The Bible says, search me, O Lord. And the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way of me, and lead me in the ways everlasting. As we continue on, the Word of God is not only quick and powerful, and the Word of God not only examines us, but the Word of God discerns. The Word of God discerns. Now, as the Word of God examines our hearts, it also is a discerner of our thoughts and intents. Look what it says at the end of the verse. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, this word discerner means, it indicates it examines and it judges the heart. The best way to understand a spiritual condition is to expose it to the Word of God. It's to expose it to the Word of God. It means that the Bible knows your thoughts and knows the intents of your heart. Remember, God's the one that judges our hearts. Man can see the outward appearance. Man can judge us by our actions. But God, He tries the hearts. And in the book of James, James puts it like this, that it's like a mirror. And it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of the liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I don't know about you, but what you look like in the morning many times is not what you look like when you leave the house. I don't know about you, but especially I know that ladies, especially when they look one way in the morning, they look completely different when they leave the house. Now, my wife is completely different. My wife always looks great, morning, night, noon, whatever. So she always looks great. And here it is here's the thought. If you're getting up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you see your hair going every which way, you see stuff in your eyes, and you just do not look right. You got oily face, clothes are all wrinkled. You got up in the mirror, you looked at yourself, and you says, you know what? I look good, and get up and walk right out of the house. You would be considered foolish, wouldn't you? So that's what the Bible's saying is, when you go and look in the Bible at the perfect law of liberty, and you see all the little things that you need to work on, and you just walk away and say you're fine, you're worse off than if you would have said, hey, I look fine. See, oftentimes, we can see it. Other people can see it. They know the symptoms. They know there's something wrong in your heart. But when you look in the perfect law of liberty, when you look in the mirror of the Bible, it shows us the things we need to change. If you will allow it to, it will expose your heart to the truths of the Word of God and show you the things you need to work on. Now, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pleasant. Be honest with you, when they do those heart procedures, they hurt. That's why they give you a pain medicine ahead of time. You might not feel much, but they hurt. You can see from the recovery. You can understand the pain that you're going through as you're trying to recover, as you're trying to get your body back to normal. It hurts. But you know what? It was worth it in the end. And when we let God's Word examine our hearts, it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to look deep inside of us and ask God to, as we open up our heart to Him and say, Lord, this might hurt, but there's some things that need to change in my life. And I'm going to let you do a thorough work on me. I mean, none of us sign up and be excited about things like colonoscopies and other tests and other things that you had to experience. You're like, these things are painful. Why in the world do we have to do this? It's to examine you to see if there's something that needs to be fixed. And the Word of God, when you hear it, you got a choice. You can ignore the heart pains. You can ignore the other symptoms that your body gives you when it's physically. And in the end, you have to pay a great price. But in your own life, in your spiritual life, you can ignore the symptoms that you know that are there, or you can allow God to examine you with His Word. The Bible says in James, that same verses earlier, it says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's the idea. If you're going to be just a hearer and not a doer, you're going to be like that guy in the mirror that looks at himself and says, oh man, I look great, and just leave without getting ready. That's what many people do in their Christian lives. So first thing I want you to see is the heart examined. The second thing I want you to see is the heart exposed. The heart exposed. The Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. The spiritual heart we are studying is not neutral. The spiritual heart desires, it perceives, it even purposes. The heart has a will, and God and the Word of God has the ability to expose the wrong intents. The Bible has the ability to expose the wrong thoughts within our heart, has the ability to help us correct those. We must be willing to let the Word of God reveal unto us the problems in our heart so the cancer of sin can be removed. You know, if we never went to the doctors and let them figure out what was wrong with us, they could not fix it. It's when we go and let them examine us, then they say, hey, look, you have cancer. Look, you have got a heart problem. Hey, look, you're overweight. Hey, look, you need to exercise more. Hey, don't they think we already know that? But you need to fix this. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God speaks of many different hearts. The Bible says that you can have a foolish heart. The Bible says in Psalms 14:1, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Anybody that gets up there and says, there is no God, the Bible says is a fool. You know, it doesn't have to be me saying it. The Bible, the Word of God says, look, you're a fool. The Bible says you can have an evil heart. Zechariah 7:10 says, let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Your heart can be set on evil. You can have a hard heart. The Bible says, but after thy hardness and thy impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous against the judgment of God. The Bible says you can have a wicked heart. Think about Nebuchadnezzar. Over and over, he saw God use Daniel. God used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He knew there was a one true living God. He had even made proclamations that only people that you're supposed to serve is Daniel's God and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego's God. But his heart was so wicked and so evil that he would not give up his prideful place of wanting to be God. And he says, I've made this. I've done this. And what did God do? He gave him a heart of a beast. To be honest with you, he was almost already there. God had kept on trying to talk to him and try to talk to him and use the great examples of the interpretation of the dreams through the fiery furnace, through Daniel coming and interpreting another dream. He knew who God was, but he chose to stick with himself. You know what happens? In the end, he had a heart of a beast. Now, we live in a wicked, wicked society. Oftentimes, we wonder how people can defy that which is natural and be involved in the kind of wickedness we see today. We often wonder, how in the world can an individual think it's okay to abort a baby? We often wonder, how can people consider it's okay to live in a homosexual way? We often wonder why people can go to the point where they murder other people, and then while they'll commit rape and they'll commit incest. And our minds are boggled. That's where our heart can be. It can be a wicked heart. The book of God judged the world. Why? Because, and God saw that there was wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That verse describes the day of Noah, the days of Noah when God judged the world with a flood. Our hearts can be wicked. But you know what? Our heart can be exchanged. Not only is a heart examined and a heart exposed, it can be exchanged. The great thing is the Word of God gives us the ability to succeed. We have an ability to change it. First thing I want you to think about is, first of all, have you been saved? Are you a Christian? The Bible says that you can accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you've been made a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I love it in the book of Acts when Lydia is described. You remember the story of Lydia? Chapter 16, it says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, a city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I like that phrase, how God opened her heart. She was worshiping God the best way she knew how, but she was missing something. And you know what? I think Paul had heard that voice of the man of Macedonia. You know who that was? I think that was Lydia. God working on Lydia, praying to God, and God sending Paul because of the prayers of Lydia, because they would go and they would worship. And I think God sent Paul there to meet this woman, to see this woman saved. Of course, other masses of people, but she was trying to do the best she can. She had an interest in serving the one true God, and God sent someone to her. And you know what? It says the Lord opened her heart. You know, tonight, if you got a hard heart, maybe if you got an evil heart or a wicked heart, believe me, don't be surprised. Because if you could look into each one of our hearts, you'd be amazed. If someone could see everything you thought of in 2013, you'd be like, boy, that person needs some real help. It's because our hearts are wicked. They're evil. But the great thing is, God can help us. Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. God can take that hard, stony, fleshly heart and give you a new heart. Now, I know that as basis when it comes to salvation, but also God as an individual and as a Christian can help change your heart today. He can work on your heart. That's why in our song that we chose the song, Try My Heart, Lord, Search and Know It, Make it be a heart that pleases you. Try my heart, Lord. Shape and change it. Lord, I give my heart to you. If we're willing to allow God to perform heart surgery on us, the Bible is quick. It's alive. It's a living book. It's powerful. It can be sharp. It can cut away the rubbish. It can pierce us exactly where we need to be pierced at. It will reveal unto us things that we're not going to enjoy hearing. I don't know about you, but when the doctor is doing certain things, you're like, hey, do you got to do that? Hey, that hurts. Can you stop? The idea is that our sin, many times when God's chiseling it away, it's going to hurt. And what we need to do, we're going to do a little bit this year, is to try to find the things of God's things or God's heart about things and lay God's thoughts about certain issues and lay it right there by the Word of God and try to examine our hearts. Because I think there's things in our lives that would be good if we would go and study. If you have a problem with anger, look up what the Bible says about anger and let the Word of God pierce your heart and clean your heart and refine your heart. If you got a problem with modesty, get in the Bible. See what the Bible says about modesty and learn what biblical modesty is. If you got a problem with giving, learn what giving is. If you got a problem with serving, learn what serving is. Let the Word of God, not just me, not just what I think, not just what a man thinks, let the Word of God, because what I say is not quick and powerful unless it's the Word of God involved in it, unless it's what God once said. You know what? There are so much and so many things that we can work on and we need to work on. But so often we say, well, I can't do that. I can't have a heart for God. And we just give it up. We don't worry about it. I'll finish with this story. I'm not sure if I told this story before, but it's a familiar story. There was a basketball player, 27 years old. His name was Reggie Lewis. And I know it was before most of you guys, the kids and teenagers' time. But Reggie Lewis was the captain of the Boston Celtics. He was playing an NBA game one time, and suddenly he collapsed to the floor. Doctors were not exactly what was wrong with him, so they ran tests. As they ran tests, Lewis went to 13 doctors in the Boston area. These doctors thoroughly examined him to try to determine what the problem was. They diagnosed him with a dangerous heart failure problem and told him that it would be very, very risky for him to ever play basketball again. You know what? He did not want to accept that. Reggie Lewis went to more doctors. He went to Los Angeles to get a second opinion. What he was looking for is someone to give him a different diagnosis. And what he found was a doctor in Los Angeles that told him what he wanted to hear. His diagnosis for Lewis was simply experiencing minor fainting spells. He gave the recommendation that Lewis go back to playing basketball and begin his comeback. Back in Massachusetts a few days later, while not even playing a full court game by just shooting baskets and practicing, Lewis fell dead of a massive heart attack. You know what? He didn't trust the 13 or 14 doctors. And many times people will go to 13 or 14 different churches to try to find something, a place that will not reveal unto them what's wrong with their heart. Sometimes they'll listen to 13 or 14 different speakers. Maybe try to read 13 or 14 different versions of the Bible. And there are that many versions of the Bible. There's only one true written word of God. But there is many. You know what? There's the homosexual version of the Bible. There is the lesbian version of the Bible that's coming out. You know, you're going to find something in there that's going to make you feel good. But that's not what's quick. And that's not what's powerful. That's not the sharper than two-edged sword. That's not what's going to pierce us. We need to let the Word of God examine our hearts. You can be honest with you, you can find somebody that can pat you on the back and say, hey, look, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Your heart is good. But you know what? They don't really know it. I've heard a lot of people say, he's got a good heart, but he does all these. You know what? God's the only one that really knows a person's heart. We need to be careful. We can see the symptoms, don't get me wrong, but we need to allow the Word of God to examine our hearts. Don't worry about what other people say. Die to criticism, die to praise. Let the Word of God take a long, thorough look in your heart. Tonight, let's make a commitment that we're going to let the Word of God take a good look at us. Let's let the Word of God examine us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed for a time.